Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance, but author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am joined by author Hadley Finn. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
So before we talk mangled memory, let's get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
So what initially drew you to the romance genre as a writer?
As a writer, it's because that's what I love to read as a reader. So okay. I love an HEA. We joke in my house that I am the mayor of Unicorn Land and that everybody else has to be a part of Unicorn Land. And that is like this fantasy that everything could go right or that should go right. Because I realize that's not reality. It doesn't matter. And so that's been our joke. And romance gives me the chance to run the city well. So I can right the wrongs. I can give people what they should have instead of what they could have in reality. So my villains get what's coming to them, which they all should, even though they don't. And everyone gets a happy that deserves a happy. So that's how I ended up in writing romance.
So what drew you to romance as a reader?
What's my what?
How, why romance as a reader? Like besides the HEA.
No, that's like, it.
When did you start reading?
I started reading as a kid, but I started reading romance probably 15 years ago when self-publishing first came up.
Okay.
When, before 50 Shades of Grey, when people started self-pubbing and it was kind of that wild, wild west, that was me.
I mean, it's still kind of the wild, wild west, but
that it is. In fact, I can remember sitting with my best friend in a grocery store and I was like, I'm reading these books. We should write these. And she was like, you should write these. And I'm like, no, we should write these. And she goes, you should write these. And I thought, I look back at that now and I'm like, that was 15 years ago. 15 years ago, she told me what I should be doing. And I had the passion, but not the background or the wherewithal or whatever. But yeah, I don't want to read a thriller where he gets away with it.
Right.
I want the happy.
So what made you decide to write that first book?
I had a friend who was a dancer. I know this is a weird way to start this question.
That's okay.
And when asked why she danced, her answer was not, I have to move to the music. It was, I can't not move to the music.
Okay.
And so I kind of feel like that with writing. I've always written something. So if that was a blog post, or I've written for work, or I've written proposals for my day job, those are really boring and dry. But for years and years and years, I've written something. And then I got to the point where I couldn't not write. There was something that I had to tell. And that's kind of where I still am, is I've got these people who drop into my head fully formed, and their story has to be told. And so it's more a matter of, I couldn't not write it.
Right.
The backstory on that first launch, on the first book, is the blurb came to me in a dream, and I was at a writer's retreat, and I was writing this other book, which is still around and I will probably still have pieces of, and it'll always be my little side project, but it'll never see the light of day.
Okay.
And I came out and I told this group of authors, I said, I've got this blurb. What do you think of this? And they were like, drop what you're writing. And they had read it, so they were being very nice. Drop what you're writing and do that. And so Sean was born. Sean, our homicidal priest, was born.
Yeah, I read that one. I read it after I read your like Rangers series, and I was like, oh, this is a very different like style and a little bit different of a character. And I was like, but I'm not sad about that. Like it was not something that I had read, and I thought that was an interesting take on that whole storyline.
Some of it was an exercise. I don't know why I do this. It's kind of like the overlapping timelines and the Rangers. Why I do this to myself is beyond me. But with Priestly Sins, I wanted an all hero point of view book.
Right. Which we don't often get.
It's very, very rare. And so that was fun. The downside is it was hard to get to know the heroine.
Right.
And so she wasn't as helpless as we thought. But you didn't know that. And so you had to see her develop through his eyes. But it was a little grittier. It was fun. I grew up outside of New Orleans, and so to walk those streets and bring those smells and sounds and foods in was just a great time for me. So.
So what made you go from that kind of dark over to the Rangers? Because that was more contemporary.
It was, and all that's character based. So I actually started a different series. It's still sitting on my computer. There's a foursome, fivesome in DC, which is a little bit grittier. It's kind of a blend of those. And I was driving to my mom's for Mother's Day, and the Rangers came to me fully formed. Every single one of them plopped into my head. I knew their backstories. I knew their partners. I knew the challenges they were going to face, and I literally couldn't not write them. And so I started Braxton, which I realized X and drop first. I started Braxton, and I knew what was going on with Brighton while that was happening. And so I knew. I mean, they were friends that were in my head, and their timelines were all overlapped. Again, why I try this as a writer is beyond me. But that I couldn't not tell their stories, and the suspense and the gritty was just dialed down. There was still some challenge to their external challenges to them.
Yeah, definitely.
But it wasn't as gritty or as terse. I felt like they were writing style wise, there was just a little bit more movement in that series. It was softer or more musical. That's the wrong term, but.
No, musical actually, I think, is a good term because we've talked about a couple different authors who we say they're right, the way in which they write is very lyrical. So musical works well.
Okay. I felt that more so than Sean and Serona. I felt like that was very punchy. I think it fit Sean and not necessarily the Rangers. And now we've got Mangold, and it's kind of like I didn't mean to go back darker. It's just that those darn characters and their situations and the gritty and the the whole series is going to be that way. And it wasn't intentional. It was just those were their stories. So,
Do you have any rituals or habits that help you stay focused while you're writing?
I have rituals around writing. I don't know if they help me stay focused. I work a traditional job. I work at 40 hours a week, so I'm 8 to 5. A lot of times I'm on a plane and I'm traveling most of the western part of the country. So I tend to wake up at 5 Central Time and I write until 8. So I try to hardcore wake up coffee, put on some soundtrack that focuses me. So with the Rangers that had playlists, it was those playlists. Where it's not, it's something that's very specific that I wouldn't listen to otherwise. It just kind of keeps me laser focused. And then I do everything I can to sprint and sprint and sprint. So, and then of course I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh, what about? Which has happened with 3 of the 7 books. So it's, and I
I mean,
go, oh yeah, I like that even better. Let's start rewriting.
that is not uncommon.
Is it
Do
not?
you, oh no, I know lots of people who like they, or they'll have a dream and they're like, oh, I should write that down because like it woke them up and then they don't write it down and then they totally forget the next morning and then they're really mad at themselves. Or they'll write like a chicken scratch note and have no clue what it says.
Oh, well, I'm trying to think of how to say this so that there's no spoilers. In Priestly Sins, the daisies toward the end, all of that came way later, and I was like, oh, I have to go back in and do that. Like that makes all of this much richer
It ties a lot together.
because otherwise, halfway through, you're very comfortable. So,
So is it a challenge for you to balance the story arc with the character arcs?
oh, I hope not. I
Like, I think, like, when your books are finished, finalized, like, you have a really good balance of that. But as you're writing, do you like, are you challenged with that, or do you feel like your characters kind of drive the way you tell the story, and like the backward like elements just kind of go along with it?
Oh, I think it's the exact opposite. I think they dictate to me and they go off where they're going to go. And then at the end, I have to go, did that make sense? Because it's, I don't go back in and layer an emotional piece or layer a behavior or anything like that. There are a couple of times where I've said, if I'm going to get to this conclusion, I don't know that I've given enough clues that the reader will go with me. So I may go back in and add a detail or two, but for the most part, they come up at the same time because they're so real to me and they're so formed. I knew Ayla. I knew Christian. I knew Leighton and Livy. I knew their stories so well that I, where we were going, I tell people that sometimes in the industry we talk plotting or pantsing, and I don't know that I'm either of those things. If I were going to drive from Houston to New York, there's a lot of ways I can go. I can go straight east on I-10 and go straight up I-95 and cut around. I can also say I just need to stop in Memphis. I need to stop in Pittsburgh, or I can say whatever happens along the way, I need to make sure I make it to Atlanta. And so that's kind of, I know these points where we're going, and then the characters say, I plan on taking a detour. We're going to get there this way. So it's never a straight line.
So you like to loosely plot, but you more of a pants.
Yeah, I know where we're going, and I might know how we're getting there, or I know 4 or 5 points along the way that we're getting there. But if
Or
they decide to go off
you know
course,
where you're going and you know how you're getting there, and then your characters are like, no, thank you. I'm going to go this way instead.
yeah.
I mean,
So I just do what they tell me.
Hey, you got to take you where the story takes you.
Well, and it takes me right along with you. So I joke. In fact, the part of my newsletter, I used to always say these are the figments of my imagination. And so my newsletter, I say, is from the figments because they drive the bus. I just can get on board with writing down their stories, or if I don't, they go quiet. And I've literally sat down at the computer and said, let's go this way. And I had to delete words because they're like standing there tapping their toes saying, we're going to go a different direction. So you can get on board or we're not going to talk to you.
So, is there a piece of advice, like you've been publishing for a couple years now, is there a piece of advice that present author you would give past author you?
Oh, start sooner. Start sooner. I think we all bumble early, with the exception of those unicorns who like hit TikTok early and built a following and then launch into this beautiful, beautiful debut. The rest of us kind of bump our knees along the way and trip a little bit, and the earlier you start, the further back those are. It's start earlier, and I don't probably have more fun. I told you I write from 5 to 8. I work 8 to 5, and that's assuming I'm in a hotel or on a plane. And so there are a lot of long days. But starting earlier would mean I'd have more books and more days. So that's
Yeah,
probably
but
it.
there's something to say about an author who only publishes like one or two books a year, one book a year, who, it's their hobby and they put all of the love and effort into it, versus an author who might release 7 or 8 books a year and it's kind of phoned in and not as enjoyable.
Early on, like back up 15 years, Kristen Ashley's first books, when did you read her?
I've read her here and there. I have not read a ton of her,
Okay.
though.
Early on, those she'd moved out of the country and she was writing about Denver as her former home and giving all these stories to her best friends. And there was so much in those, and so well developed, because she did them for herself. She wrote her love of a city and a people and a community. And that was before people were publishing, you know, so she had a step when self-publishing happened, she could release a ton, but you could tell that love because it was a onesie twosie. It was a, how do I perfect this? Which is fun.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like you can definitely tell when you get into a book if there was a lot of feeling behind it, which I think is great.
My unicorn, my man, is he's a real caretaker. And during Braxton, I cried. During Brighton, I cried. During Leighton, I cried. And he would walk over and say, he'd like bring me tissues and say, "Are you okay? What can I do? How do I help?" And I thought, no, it has to happen here. It has to happen for me because if I'm not deep into this, nobody else ever be vested. But he would try to stop that for me, which is incredible on his part. But I'm with
You're
you.
like, I need to be in my feels here. Just let me be in my feels.
Well, it had to hurt. Some of that had to hurt. That was that
Well,
character. And if they were real, then I had to be in transcribing their story.
I mean, and there was some hurt there because I do believe that I teared up definitely in a couple of those. And I'm not, I mean, now that I've had kids, I definitely cry way more than I used to. But like, yeah, I was like the one who never cried at books, and now I cried everything. But
Oh yeah, I'm like, I'm not gonna cry again. This is a reread. I'm not gonna cry again. This is a reread. And I'm like, it's
reread's
coming.
like
I know it's coming. Stay strong.
I will ugly cry at certain rereads still, and it's like I know, but then I will cry at other parts of the book because like it hits me different the second time around, and I'm like, ooh, that was not what I was expecting today.
Agree. Probably because we're braced for that moment, the one that you're supposed to cry at, we're braced. And then all of a sudden, this other line where you're like, I didn't even hear that the first time. Oh, I love that.
Or like you read it differently this time around.
Or you're a different person.
Well, it's funny because I did an author interview earlier this morning. We're recording in the afternoon for you listeners out there. And we were talking about how, like, books that we loved or didn't like when we were younger, and we go back and reread them just to give them another try, and how much we either really dislike them or like them. Because it's like you're looking at it from a completely different perspective. It's like you are older, maybe not wiser, but older. Maturity level is different, like your location is different, just like emotionally, physically, like all that is different. So it's like books that you read when you're younger, they hit differently as an adult.
Well, and even a younger adult, like I'm thinking of one in particular that I won't speak to because it was incredible, and I can't tell you how many times I read it. I mean, 10 maybe. The whole series, loved it. And now the older I get, the more I'm like, that might be a little toxic. That's not terribly healthy. And if I were her mom, I would. And I don't want to be that as a reader. As a reader, I want to be in the story. I want to be with the heroine, not trying to psychoanalyze it. So just different part of life, I guess.
So let's talk Mangled Memory. So you kind of introduced this world with a novella that, like, there was a novella like collaboration thing. They were all separate, but every like a bunch of authors did these like free novellas, and it introduced us to the Aspen and Evergreen world, and it was called Splintered Security, which I love that book, and there's some toxic in there, but
A little.
in the good ways, because their relationship was not toxic, it was everything else that was. But so we get introduced to these characters. They're kind of a big character, but they're an outlier at the same time. So when you go into Mangled Memory, like you don't really know anything. But when this book opens up, it opens up with a bang, and then it kind of just goes from there.
You're welcome. No. It's so I started Mangled Memory long before Splintered was even a thing. So I've been writing Mangled for almost 2 years.
I mean, it's a lot.
It
It's a lot.
and I had so for the, how do I say this without spoiling it for those who haven't read? It was originally dual POV from the beginning. And it was a lot more fun if we didn't have that as early Because
Well,
then.
honestly, like as I was reading this, I was like, are we, because you know how some books, like I know Aurora Rose Reynolds does this every once in a while where she'll put the title, like the character at the beginning, but you do not get that other POV until like the last couple of chapters. And so I was like, oh, are we not going to get Christian at all? Like, I don't know if I can handle that. And then he pops up. And I was like, ooh, that was a really good place for him to show up. Like, I think the way that you did the point of view and like where he finally showed up for the first time, but like when he showed up, like it made the story that much more intriguing.
It
Yeah.
was it was fun. So I knew him early on. So I've been laughing because I have some friends who have been texting me and they're like, I don't know that I trust him. Okay, you're on
No, no
chapter
joke.
one. You're on
Well, but
chapter
also,
two.
well, because there was that one like flashback kind of memory, and you're like, ooh, what is that? And I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to spoil it. But then, like, as you get to know them, like, it makes sense.
It does.
But I was
And
like, oh my goodness, what are you doing to us?
well, and it was what I was doing to me too. So I started in September almost 2 years ago, and then
Okay.
I started reworking it because I knew where we were going. I just didn't know how we were getting there.
Okay.
And once I told him he had to be quiet, things changed. So Ren had a different role in Mangled before Splintered.
Okay.
And so I needed Fitz because we didn't have Fitz. I knew Liam from the beginning and I knew Cyan from the beginning. And Cyan technically is supposed to be said as Cian, and I don't know that I can do that, but as a legal pronunciation or correct pronunciation. So I knew them. I knew them so clearly that it was easy for me to bring them in.
Right.
And so now I'm so excited for their stories as well. It's
I as
Mangled has
well.
just been fun. Like, it's been fun to write. It was a challenge because of
I was gonna
laying
say, fun is not a word that I would associate with this because it's pretty heavy. Because Ayla is our heroine, and like the book opens up, and we get like the beginning, and then so there's an incident that occurs, and then she can't remember things for like for the past like couple of years, and that's not a spoiler, people.
No, it's an
Just
amnesia book, so that we
it's
can put that one
amnesia.
out there.
And so like she but so she does not remember who Christian is to her, which I mean we know in the blurb that they're married, but like he's kind of a he's an intense dude.
Yes, that's a great description. He's
Like
intense.
intense.
And the question that I had is like, how do we, the only reference that she has that she can trust him is her past self
Right.
and her brother, who tells her early on, this is the love of your life. But can she?
Yeah. Well, and then we find out like we don't know.
We don't know.
And that when I do these interviews and like the book hasn't come out yet, because we're recording prior to release day, and even at the beginning of like when things come out, I'm like, I want to tell people so badly like things, and I'm like, but I can't spoil it because you need to read like as this plays out. But her relationship with her brothers, like the family dynamic is hard in this one because they don't have the best relationship with their dad. They have a fairly good relationship with their mom, but it is still somewhat strained because of things with their dad. And like the brother's relationship with their dad is very different than hers. And it's like there's so many different like pieces to it, which I mean it's a family. Stuff like that happens. But the three of them have such a good relationship. And it's so hard for them because there's at one point where she goes to her brother Cyan's house, which I mean I'm gonna spoil this just a little bit. And like when she shows up, she makes a comment about like how his house looks, and he's like, "I forgot that you forgot." And it's such an emotional moment in the story because it's like they're so used to like her one way, and she's not there because she has lost so much. And so all of these things have happened in like the 2 years of like blankness that she has. And it's just little things like that where it's like he has a moment where he's like, this is where we're at right now.
I'm sorry, I forgot that you didn't remember. Because I loved those dynamics. I liked all the family dynamics. My parents have been married for 56 years. They like each other and they love each other. So I've never seen anything other than this very happy, easy thing. They had one argument ever. I was afraid they were going to get divorced. I mean, 15 minutes maybe in my whole life. So I've never seen that back
Other
and forth
side.
hug. But it wasn't perfect for them, and it wasn't perfect. It was just easier. My unicorn, as I call him, did not come from that. So he came from not dysfunction, but just a completely different family dynamic. And so we talk about what does it look like when who can you trust, right? You trust. And I love that as a theme here, because who can Ayla trust? Who can Christian trust? You know, I don't know that Liam needs to trust anybody.
I don't think Liam, well, I mean, I'm sure he'll trust his lady when we meet her, but like, I think Liam, like, he has so many hangups, for the lack of a better term, with their upbringing and things with his dad, that like he doesn't want to trust anybody. Like, he trusts his brother, he trusts his sister. Like, that's inherent and you can tell. But I think he's going to be one of those characters where when you get his trust, you have it full force, but it takes a lot to get to that.
I agree. And he's going to be so much fun. He's going to
I
be
know,
so
I'm
much fun. I
really.
know his heroine, they are definitely opposites attract. So.
I'm really excited for both the brothers' books because they just are so. I feel like there's so many layers to them. And like Liam seems like he's going to be this really almost asshole like hero. And I love an asshole in a book. I do. There's something about it that they're like my catnip. But I feel like Cyan's going to be this like almost golden retriever. But not at the same time.
So his is a second chance romance, and if you
Ooh.
were paying attention,
Oh, yes. Oh,
he may
oh.
have caught sight of her during Mangled Memory.
Because there is a moment, and
There's a
he
moment,
just like checks out, and then he is gone. And
and
I
that
was
book
like,
has started, and it starts right there.
oh. Yeah. Well, because I was like, is it going to be like instant connection? Like he sees her and is done for, or is it more?
Yes, but that was many years ago.
Oh, I love this so much.
And I don't know if you caught. So, we talked about Mangle kind of starting with a bang. Splintered starts with a
Yes,
bang.
it
Did
does.
you
Yes.
recognize where they were when Cyan catches a glimpse of her?
Oh.
But
Well, because I remember,
that's fun
like,
too.
yes, okay. Well, because Splintered happens after
It
Mangold.
does.
Well, because yeah, I did not catch that one, but now that you say that, like, yes, I do see that now. Well,
So.
because Christian is like a real estate guy. He has a lot of stuff, a lot of buildings, a lot of like restaurants and things like that. So, I mean, ooh.
He just has a lot of money, and one of the places in Denver where it's easiest to invest that and make more money is in real estate. Denver real estate market is insanity. So, it was a home for me. I lived in Denver for a little more than 5 years. I have a love for that place and the mountains, and I was in the middle of a Texas summer finishing Layton, and I was like, I need a break from this smothering heat. And so I was like, where can I go? I can go to the mountains in September and actually have a break from this. So that's how I started writing the series, which I again start with Mangold and starts about in September.
Well, in the imagery, like when they go to the one house and like looking out the windows, and it's just, I can you can see like the landscape that she is seeing, like the way that you describe it. And I mean, I've never been to Denver. I don't really travel outside of my bubble. I like my bubble. If it's outside of like 15 minutes, like I complain about it. It's a
Okay.
thing with me. I like I
If you
have the
like your
dream.
bubble, then why go anywhere else?
Well, in my bubble is a happy place. Like it's a running joke. But I mean, I have traveled. Like it's not like I've never done it, but I've never been to Denver. It's one of those places, but I don't like the cold. But just seeing pictures of like the mountains and the landscape, like I could just imagine like how breathtaking, like if you're seeing it for the first time again, like that view, like how amazing it could be.
And we'll mention Ayla's a professional photographer, so she is
Yes.
seeing everything again for the first time. And she's seen the vistas are incredible. I will tell you, if you are interested in heading to Colorado, it is not nearly as cold as you think. They measure, like Denver, the high country is a different element, but in Denver they measure snow based on snow events. So there might be six or seven snow events between September and May. And that could be a day snow or that could be 2 days snow. But every Martin Luther King weekend I was there, which was 6 years or 7 years, it was 70 degrees in January with a blue sky. I mean, we were having picnics out in Wash Park. It was stunning.
Wow, it sounds pretty. And like I know people that live in Denver and they talk about how pretty it is and all those things. And I'm like, but I think it was such a great backdrop for like this story, especially with Ayla being a photographer. And I mean, I did photography in college. That was like my focus in art school. And so like I had a real appreciation of that. I don't really do any photography now because, you know, life. But I did. I really appreciated like the knowledge that went along with it because a lot of times with stuff like that, people, authors don't always get it right. But I could tell that like you did your research and like the dark room, like there is a smell to a dark room that is not natural and things like that. And I did appreciate that side of it as well.
Well, and I have a friend who's a professional photographer, and so I was like, please advise me, please help, because I've attempted to play an attorney, I've attempted to play a doctor. It turns out I stink at both of those things. I've got amazing friends and amazing ARC readers, and they're like, you know, this isn't how the body works, right? I'm like, or you know that legally this can't happen. That was Braxton. And I was like, oh, we have a problem because I'm 45,000 words into a story and that's the premise. So how do we bypass the actual law to make that work?
I mean,
So it's I
sometimes you
got
just
a
gotta make
joke.
things up as you go, too, though.
Well, and that's in the note, I was like, I think in the acknowledgments I said, there's a little bend to the law here. That's creative license because it's not fully legal.
Well, and there's an author when she was working on a second gen series at the beginning, she's like, baby math is hard. I didn't even attempt it. So don't pay attention to H's.
Yeah. Well, and that's I have a friend who's in the middle of writing a series, and she said, he is this age. And I was like, he is not, because you have this character and this character and this character, and this has happened since he is this age. She's like, dang it, don't be right. And I'm like, sorry.
Don't be right. So, who is next? Is Liam next or is Cyan
Cyan
next?
is next, and I'm maybe 10% of the way into his book. The third
Okay.
book, which is completely unknown, I probably am 15 or 20% of the way in. I have a tendency when they start chatting to just
So
get
you're
it out
jumping
there.
around.
I was halfway through Braxton when I wrote Exton, and then I started Brighton, and then I finished Braxton, and then it's the same series. It's the same people. So I have to make sure that the things are in the right place. But yeah, I started the third book before the second book.
It happens. I mean, I have the where I have the tendency to read books out of order. So I understand writing them wherever you want to go. So
I want all of my series to be, you can start at any point and jump into any book and then go back and it not be spoilered for you. Like the timelines don't matter, right? Interconnected.
Right.
I'm going to spoil everything right now and tell you they always have a happily ever after. The dog
Yeah.
never dies.
That's a
you know,
key.
the villains, I hope, get it. That kind of thing. It's I want those as tenets for my writing. But they're going to get an HEA. So if you meet a character or a characters later in the series that I wrote earlier, they're happy.
Yeah.
There are
We just don't know
a couple
why
of
or
them.
how they're happy.
Right. You just don't know how they got
Well,
there.
and honestly, when I read your Ranger series, like I couldn't tell you which book came out first, because the way that like the way in which you wrote them, which it worked for the series, but I was like, wait a second, didn't this one come out earlier? But then it hadn't. And I was like,
The only one that timeline-wise is with the Rangers is later, is Leighton, and he
Okay.
happens about a year after the other three all happen. Which, if you're a young author, I don't advise writing three books with an overlapping timeline where you have to remember who said what and when, and that could matter three books later.
I mean, it makes a difference.
It does. When you're sitting there looking at another manuscript and you're like, oh, that doesn't work for this storyline unless you do this, and yeah.
I don't
Now, if
know.
you're one of those people
Whatever
that
you're.
can sort it all out in your head in advance, that's great. That is not me. So.
No. Whatever you're doing is working. I really enjoyed the chaos of Mangled Memory, because it's a little chaotic, but not in a bad way. It's the fact that like amnesia trope is really hard to do. Like that is a blanket like statement, and I will stand on my soapbox until the end of time, because it's hard to do the trope and make it work. But I think the fact that they're married and trying to work through these things, trust does go both ways, and that is something that is like a kind of a theme throughout the story. But I really like their timeline and storyline. And even by the end of the book, I mean, I'll tell you this, like her memory is not fully back. Like it's not back. It may never come back, but it works out and it makes sense.
I wanted him to have to woo her and win her again. And early on, and this, I don't think this spoils anything. Early on, I expected him to sort of have to recreate their relationship and re first date her and re all of that. And he's not that guy.
No, he's not.
He's not as warm and fuzzy as that, but he is committed to her and he is committed to them. And so he had to woo her back to a place that he had no intention of them being anywhere else. I kind of describe it, my grandmother had Alzheimer's and she would fall asleep, and when she'd wake up, she didn't really know the characters in the house, right? She knew my mom. She didn't know if it was a rom-com. She didn't know if it was a thriller. She woke up and hoped that the people in the house were safe and that she was safe. And that's kind of what I felt like with Ayla was, you know, when you come home to a home you don't know and a husband you don't know, how do you live in that? And how does he help her? How does he keep his wife and woo his wife, which he did once?
Well, I mean, didn't really woo her at all, even the
Well,
first time
maybe.
around, like as you learn. But like I mean, he did for him. Like he is not, his romance is Christian version of romance, and
And
like
we
he
don't
has
mean that in the
his,
religious sense.
no, like he marches to the beat of his own drum and he does things his way. And but I don't think that Ayla could have worked well with like a softer hero, because she has a fiery temper and she is very like sure of herself, not for part of this book, but because she has no idea what's going on. But like you can tell inherently, like she is sure of herself and confident. And so like, and a lot of that comes out like as the book progresses. But I don't think that had he been like this soft romantic guy along with like the stern personality, I don't think it would have worked as well. I think the way that like you wrote him as this like commanding romantic guy was
That's a good. I was going
more,
to say dominant, but I like commanding. That's accurate.
I mean, he definitely had a dominant personality, but like there's like command in the way that he dealt with her, but it wasn't bad. Bad's not the word I'm looking for, but it wasn't hurtful or toxic or abusive commanding. It was caring commanting.
Would you describe this? He's caring, commanding. It is very accurate. He's not a golden retriever. If you're into golden retriever energy, wait
Christian
for
is not for you.
yeah. So.
Well, so we have Cyan coming up next and then Liam after that. And I'm very excited to get more of this family and these stories and to see where it goes. And
I am too, because they've got to tell me.
well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day and coming on and chatting with me. And
Thanks so much for having me. This is amazing.
until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.